Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hi, Nicole. Everybody missed you last week, by the way.
Hello, Cindy. Hello, everybody.
It wasn't quite the smooth sail we have when you're here, you know? I did my best, and, you know, we had a few snags going on, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I'm sorry. Originally, my plan was to try to go to, first of all, I don't know if you told our listeners last week, I unfortunately had a wake to go to last week, and unfortunately, I was trying to make the earlier showing so that I could actually do the show, and then at the last minute those plans kind of fell apart, so unfortunately I was not able to go earlier in the day as I had planned. So that's the only reason why I gave you such short notice on that one. But I'm very, very sorry that you sometimes it's not so smooth when I'm here too, though, so you know, you don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah, but then I could blame you. Then I could blame you.
No, that is true. Well, since I didn't speak to you last week, I didn't give you a personal congratulations on your best psychic.
Well, thank you so much. And, of course, I couldn't do that without my wonderful, wonderful clients and Nicole promoting it and everybody saying vote, vote, vote. And that was the very good news. The bad news was when my electronic calendar crashed because, you know, I tried to put my iPad into the Mac, and it lost my whole calendar. Thank God I had 95% of it backed up.
But
I was like, it was just the last, you know, sometimes a few days when Christmas time and I was away, so I didn't bring the backup writing copy with me because I don't want to lose both. Say your car gets stolen,
yeah.
You have to have like one here. So then I sent out emails, and so people got back to me, but it was kind of funny because people that were trying to squeeze in earlier appointments would say, my appointment was like, you know, 2 days from now. No, it wasn't. You know what I mean? I was like, nope, that's not true. this is like day 12 of electronic calendar crashing. And TJ's laughing because normally who comes the wrong day here, who comes late, who comes early, it's usually a little bit of chaos every day. 11 days or 12 days, what it is, so far everything's gone smoothly, which is really odd, isn't it?
Good for you.
Now, I'm not wondering if maybe people didn't show up who were supposed to. I don't know. But
you know what? Just go with it, Cindy. Go with it.
But it's a little bit funny, and like, you know, it's just toward the end of the month that I wasn't positive, so I just couldn't book anything on those days that, you know, I'm not sure. I just left it open, and we'll see what happens. But so far, so good. So it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, shoo. But, you know, we're so dependent upon electronics, and we have so many devices and so many, you know, machines that we use. There's always something that goes wrong almost every day.
Yep.
Well, and you know that. We lose our cell phone, whatever.
Oh, my God. Well, that's why every so often, like Lisa and I will you know, have an unplugged night. Like last night was our unplugged night. And basically, you know, well, because, you know, we're both so busy and we're both always, like, even tonight, you know, I raced from my Tuesday, Thursday job into my Monday, Wednesday, Friday job because they needed me, you know. So I raced from one job to the other, and then I had to go, you know, I had to go get supplies because Lisa needs, you know, some help with her studio tonight. Then I had to go pick her up from work because we're sharing a car right now. So I had to go pick her up from work. Then I had to run over to my mother's house to do the show. Then we're going to be running back over to her studio. I mean, my day today started at around 7, and it's not going to end until like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then I'm getting up for work tomorrow at 4:30, so.
No, I exactly know what you're talking about. I get up every day and go, oh,
crazy.
These are long days, you know.
Exactly.
Very
exactly.
Long work days, and that's why I tell people when somebody, you know, something goes wrong or they, you know, everybody's working very hard. We got to give everybody a little bit of break if everything doesn't go perfect, because normally when people come the wrong day, they come late, they come early. I'm like, it's okay, we'll work it out. It's just if it's my mistake, I'm like freaking. Do you know what I mean? It's like, God.
Don't do that. You know what? Sometimes things just happen, you know. That's why, like I said, you know, I mean, we live such busy, busy lives. That's why last night was our unplugged night. We made, because I got home from work a little bit earlier than she did, so I straightened out the house and I got dinner together. And then I said, okay, as soon as she walked to the door, I said, get showered. I said, and call everybody that you need to speak to tonight, because as soon as I put dinner on the table, our phones are going inside, the computer is going away. I said, it's you, me, movie, or you, me, talking, you, me, something, but there's going to be no
phones. I like
no
the something part.
Or computers. Yeah, exactly. Me too. So do I. You know, but I was just like, I said, it's just going to be us tonight. I said, we could watch TV if you want. We could do whatever you want to do as long as it's just us. You
right.
know,
and that's
no
what
phone
people
calls,
need.
No, nothing. And that's exactly
they really,
what we did. So we called everybody. We said, don't bother calling us because we're not picking up.
I know, and it's so funny because TJ was like, don't worry. If somebody comes and we're not expected, we'll just work it out. He goes, we're used to that. And meanwhile, so far it hasn't happened, so we're kind of laughing because you'd be surprised how many times we're eating breakfast and people are here, or, you know,
totally.
Saturdays, which is my one day off, people land here. You know,
you never work Saturdays. How did I come on Saturday?
I don't know. So, you know, sometimes I'll just look at them and say, I'm sorry, I can't read you. I have to come back because we're on our way out. You know, I mean, this is like, so, but if it's at all feasible, I'll do it. But it's just funny.
No, I know.
With life, it's
you're
always
good,
we work hard.
Well, Cindy, you know, we probably shouldn't even be saying this on the radio because now people will be like, so she'll
I'll
take me if
Cindy
I come early.
I'll end up Cindy on Saturday. She'll read me. No, I'm barricading the door.
There you go.
Well, anyway, you see, we have a lot of listeners, and
goodness.
See if we can jump right
we'll just
in. Maybe
the one
the
that's
first
been there
one.
The longest, I guess, yeah.
And I don't know where 858 is, do you?
I don't know where 858 is either, but we're about to find out. Hello,
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for my phone call.
And 858 is where?
Yes, it's California.
Okay, good. And your name is?
Oh, my name is Shauna.
Shauna, that's my daughter's name.
Oh,
it's not a very common name, so I love when I hear it. You know, it's not everybody's name.
Oh, thank you.
So I know you've been waiting a long time, so you must have something on your mind. So just, you know, start in. And was it a little bit of echo? Do you have that, Nicole, or is it just me?
Okay, is it better?
That's better, yeah, because the echo drives me crazy. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have it on my mind. You know, there is some kind of problem with my friendship with the man that I really like. There is no communication in the last couple of months, and one day, if you see, he will be coming back into my life, or he's
okay.
not.
Unfortunately, with these cards, I got the heartbreak card and the death card across from it, which usually means you have to start moving on from the relationship. It's not that he didn't care about you. It's, you know, sometimes I'd like to have a camera here so you could see the cards. There's the cards where a man cares about a person, and yet he walks away from that relationship. And you know, he had a lot of anxiety here in the picture. So do you know
let me
why
tell you, it was not a relationship. He was a long-time friend,
just a
long-term friend. How to tell you, it's just a distant friendship. It's not like we saw each other each day, but we've been friends for several years.
Right.
It
and
was
for some reason, he moved away in his affections for you or his friendship. It's possible someone else was a little bit jealous about his affections for you because it doesn't look like he walked away very easily. But, you know, you could try contacting him, but it looks like, you know, I don't know if you know about the romantic relationship he does have in his life. Do you know about that one?
Well, I know about this person in his life, but it's never been an issue, and I don't think that he I'm the only friend of his, and he just, you know, he had friendships with other people. He's a very social person. I sure it's not my husband, because I just separated with my husband about a year ago, and that one, like, really has no, we don't have any affection for each other, and that's why he's, well,
he was someone who helped you a little bit through, but it looks like now that you see, you were not a threat to his romantic relationship when you were married, but there's the one thing that you're going to learn as a single woman. Suddenly there are people who are couples or people who you were friends with who suddenly don't want to be friends with you. You know, it's an unfortunate part about being a single divorced woman.
I'm not divorced, and he even doesn't know if I'm divorced, because we didn't. He still thinks that I'm around my husband, so I didn't have time.
Were you telling him there was trouble in paradise? Did he know about that?
He knew this, like, it's been like 2 years ago, like we separated. So he knew this like 2 years ago. It never affected our friendship. He helped me with several issues, and he was very supportive with giving advice for my child. I'm raising a child myself, so it's never been an issue, honestly. Like 2 years ago, I've separated from my husband.
Right, and again, it looks like it is an issue here now. So whatever made it become one, because friends don't usually just pull away from us without an explanation. And, you know, it's one of the things, if you are his friend, why can't you pick up the phone and ask him?
I asked him in October. He never said anything to me. Well, he would just, you know, he's a very diplomatic person. He responded nicely, but it was kind of short email once and twice. He would never just do a confrontation or something. That's why I just thought, I don't know. He's just very diplomatic, you know, to say directly something.
Right. And again, it just looks like there is someone that wasn't so fond of your friendship. So in respect to that person, maybe, you know, it looks to me like his romantic relationship. So maybe when he told her that you were separating, or maybe she thought you were helping too much, and he just stepped back because of that. And if he is that kind of person that's diplomatic, he doesn't want to say anything bad about her, or doesn't even perhaps want you to know the real reason. But it doesn't look anytime soon that he's coming back. So, you know, it's kind of moving on from him and making some new friends and realizing that he was there for you at one point. But, you know, not all relationships last forever, whether they're friendships or love affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And out of respect for him, you might just leave it be until he contacts you.
But do you think that there will be contact? Because we've been friends for a very, very long time, even before his romantic relationship with this person. So I don't think that she even knows about me. He has a lot of women friends. He is very social. So
well,
it's not
she may have. I don't think she saw you as not a threat. So maybe.
No. She doesn't know about me. Believe me.
Well,
he's
you
not
think
a
she
guy.
Doesn't, but people tend to check up on cell phones and check up on emails, and you'd be surprised how much people know about things. So in your naivety, you're thinking she didn't check his cell phone. Because it looks like the riot act's been read to him, maybe about all of his other friends. I don't think it's just you. So she may have threatened him to end the relationship, but she appears to know who you are. So, you know.
She knows about me?
She knows about you.
Because
so
I didn't
again,
communicate
you know,
with him very often, just, you know, from time to time we stayed in touch. Just, you know, maybe once, twice. In 6 months, so it was not something on every day, but when I needed help and advice, he would just always respond, and we talk, and nothing's like...
Right, and again, sometimes, you know, he looks like she had some other issues with him and probably was checking up on something else more than on you. But at this point, it doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon, so, you know... Maybe after that relationship ends, but not. I don't see it like in the next 6 months or a year.
So,
I mean, you could send
you...
him some messages on his soul plane, you know, telepathically, and see if he gets it and calls. Because, you know, Nicole knows this, and I do it all the time. If you want somebody to contact you, you kind of just think about it, and they can get the message. So you could try that, but it looks like he's deliberately not contacting you at this point.
Let me ask you, if I will start contacting him and talking, will he be eager to reply, or it will be unwelcomed communication? Because I don't want to put him into the situation when he will feel uncomfortable.
I just think right now, because she tends to be keeping a tight rein on him, and it could be that she has, you know, access to his cell phone records, and so he can't really lie at this point and say that he's not talking to anybody. So it just looks like, for a man who's, you know, very social and very, you know, usually has, you know, the reign of doing what he wants, he's been pulled in a little bit.
Hmm.
And, you know, that's the thing about electronics. People find out a lot of stuff nowadays. And, you know, he just was sort of taking advantage of speaking with a lot of other people and maybe neglecting her. So at this point, he seems to also have some business issues that he's taking care of. So there's a couple of things here.
So this relationship that he's now seems to be very stable, that she doesn't even allow him to talk to other friends or everything?
Pretty much. Pretty much. So, you know, sometimes these things happen and they don't want to tell us, especially if he's a man who's used to being pretty free. Maybe he's just appeasing her now, and then when it doesn't work out anymore, he'll go back to his, you know, talking with people. And she just seemed to not like it.
Okay, thank
you.
Well,
good luck. Let us know if he happens to contact you. Keep sending him that message on the soul plane and see if it shakes him up. I do that with my clients when I don't have their number because, you know, they change it. I go, you have to call me and talk to me and confirm something, and then like maybe an hour later they'll call. So
really, so you just
work.
Do this in your thoughts, or you actually say
thoughts,
to
in your thoughts, you send him message that you would like to speak with him, and it usually is a pretty effective weapon. And if he doesn't call you after that, it really is he's just afraid. For some reason, this woman has really read him the riot act. So,
Wow, that's strange. Well, but thank you so much.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, Nicole, you've been screening. So.
I've been screaming so many people, Cindy.
But now, you heard what I'm talking about electronics. Don't you know, people think that nobody knows what's going on when everybody knows what's going on now? Do you?
Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on.
That's why I try to tell people when they think that, oh, no, they've never looked at my cell phone, they've just, and they're telling you. You know, or people that tell me I checked the cell phone, there's nothing on it. I go, well, he left it unlocked because he knows you're going to check it. Of course he's going to leave nothing on it. You know, it's an interesting thing. It's a sneaker time in the world for, you know, with the electronics and, you know, track phones.
Electronics will be the end to everybody.
I know. You know, it just seems to me that people just seem to just, the world is just getting bigger and smaller at the same moment.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, you know what? It's like, here's the deal. Way back when, okay, before you had, like, instant messaging and text messaging and things of that nature, okay, I mean, people had to do things the old-fashioned way. They had to do things stealth if they were not going to be doing the right thing.
Right,
because
exactly.
Of text messaging and Facebook and Twitter and every other thing that's out there and email, people no longer feel the need to be as suave as they had to be in the days of old. Okay? And, you know, like everybody thinks that, you know, that they're Bill Gates or, you know, some master hacker where it's like, oh, no, I'm going to put a password on my phone. She'll never know. Ha, ha, ha. You know? It's just so stupid.
You know, like, it is for sure.
If you're not doing the right thing, do yourself a favor. Be suave about it. Okay?
And just,
you know,
and
what? Try to have a little bit of couth. Don't rely too much on the electronics because you know what? It's only a matter of time before you get caught, and the more you use electronics, the more likely it is that you're going to get caught sooner than later.
And you know what happens? Women will tell me they caught their husbands cheating because they sent them a text that they meant to send their mistress. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Now,
oh,
you know the dead got did that. Made you just mix it up a bit.
send it to my daughter so she sees what's going on.
So it's, you know, eventually it will get people caught, but it really has made people, you know, lives just a little bit, you know, they tend not to be trusting, and they tend to feel like, oh, my God, am I seeing everything that's going on? And it just is really, it's really a different world. I mean, when I was growing up, we had one phone in the family. Whoever called, everybody heard. You know what I mean? It wasn't like everybody didn't have their own phone where nobody knows
never
who's
like
talking
that.
No, and so it's allowed people to be a little bit sneakier.
I mean, I remember the days where you had to just pay for, like, every phone call, you know? Where
right, and it was shown on the phone.
There was no such thing as free. There was no such thing, not even caller ID, you know? Just where you just had to pay for every phone call. So, like, you know, people would mind their minutes, you know, on a landline. I remember my friends, like, because if they had, you know, used the phone too much and their parents were cracking down on them, like, literally calling me, saying, call me right back, and hanging up the phone because, you know, we had to mind our minutes and mind what times we were calling. My mother would answer the phone saying, nope, Nicole is studying, Nicole is having dinner, Nicole is, you know, taking a bath. She cannot come to the phone right now, and that was okay. You know, now you call people, it's like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm in the shower. Like, why are you
asking? Well, talk to me right now.
You know.
The first time I got my phone, I'm like, someone called and I jumped out of the shower and I see this like picture of somebody's boobs. I go, oh my God, whose boobs are on my cell phone? It was mine because I snapped a picture of myself jumping out of the shower. So I'm like, no, you've got to leave us alone when we're taking a shower.
Oh, my God. You know what? Like, it's okay not to answer every call. And it's okay not to answer every text message and every email. And sometimes you don't have to respond within the first minute an email, text message, or anything else happens or comes in. You don't have to respond that quickly. We
exactly.
did back then, and we survived.
Right, exactly. Now, remember that person I told you tried to call in last week, the 954? 437.
Yeah.
Okay, if you would go down into the list, this person waited a very long time last week, so I want to make sure we get through to her today.
I still don't see a 954 here.
Scroll down.
9. Yeah,
let me
no.
see if, let's see if I can pick her up. Okay, wait a second. Hello, Cindy, you're on the air. Hello? Maybe
oh.
I can't pick her up.
Hello?
Hi, it's Cindy. Oh, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
She just
I know you
popped
were trying
up on
to...
my screen.
Oh, she just popped up. Okay,
she
good.
Just, when you, I guess whenever you tried to activate the call, she just popped up on my screen. Okay, there you go.
Okay. Now, this is Cindy, and your name was?
Shanice.
Okay, and I know you were waiting a long time last week, so she let you come through, so tell us what's on your mind.
I just kind of wanted, like, I guess a simple reading of, like, what's going to happen within the next year. Because, like, 2012 was very challenging for me, given some life situations. So I'm kind of wondering if 2013 will be a little bit better. Or what.
Well, it's actually, you've gotten the Ace card. So Ace is always what you can expect in New Year. The Ace of Swords came up, which is a very strong year psychologically, health-wise, and just a very good year. You got the Ace of Pentacles, which is a better source of money this year.
Okay.
And a little bit of love on the horizon. Did you end a relationship last year?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And you don't speak to this person anymore? No texting or talking or booty calling?
No. Well, sometimes the person texts or calls back and forth. We share tiles. So we actually have to stay in touch.
Okay, and but are you keeping it kind of, you know, talking about your child and not too much other stuff?
Right, it's just like my child or our child, not too much about anything else. Sometimes he'll bring things about the past, but other than that, it's just for the well-being of our child and what we plan to do for him.
Right, because you know that, you know, this man's a pretty manipulative man. You know about that.
Yeah.
And so kind of closing the chapter on him, standing a little bit on your own 2 feet without a man. And then a nice relationship here. The universe is keeping it a little at bay. You weren't married to this man?
No, we weren't married.
Okay. And does he give child support?
He doesn't. He gives like a few $100s here or there every few months. But but not on a stable basis. So
okay,
I have
and
to establish that.
Okay, and what you're going to do is, because single, you know, with a mother like you who's basically supporting your son, you need to have it in writing, sort of how much money he owes you, because later on, if he becomes a pain in the neck, and he can be in the future, you're going to need to at least have, you know, say, look, you owe me this amount of money. You want to do this with your son, or you want to, you know, fight for child support, or you want child custody, or you want to give me a hard time. If he owes you enough money, he's going to leave you alone. And, you know, you can also then, you know, have him arrested because for back child support, because he looks like he'll be a real pain in the neck.
Well, he's very emotionally and verbally abusive. He is very dishonest and deceptive. He's very sneaky and conniving, and not someone you really want to have in a relationship. A friend, it's okay, but, like, as a relationship, it could be very dangerous.
Right, and, of course, if you have how much money he owes you, if he comes 5 years from now and wants to, you know, fight the custody battle, or he decides he just feels like, you know, he's having a hissy fit in his life and he wants to rain on your parade, having it documented how much back money he owes will probably keep him away at that point.
It's like, and now I don't know how much he makes per month. Like, he doesn't tell me.
Well, there's usually a minute. What state do you live in?
I live in Florida.
Okay, you could check with Florida. There's usually probably, you know, certain minimums and things like that that would be ruled for, you know, with, and just maybe go down to the court and file that he's not paying regular child support.
Okay.
So that these are things later on, because he knows you're not with somebody yet, so he's kind of still playing nice. When you get another man in the picture, that's when he could be a real pain in the neck.
Right.
So, and that's, you know, not tomorrow. It's probably in the next few months, but this is a really good year for you. You've learned a lot of lessons, and I just don't want later on for him to give you a lot of trouble, because you're underestimating him sometimes.
Yes, I feel like that too. I feel like he definitely could really try to take advantage or take control.
And, you know, for your son's sake, you don't want him to be caught in the middle here. But, you know, this is a good year. Love is in the horizon for you. Your son's a good boy, by the way. He's a very old soul. He has a kind heart. And you're getting a lot of divine guidance, which has basically been guiding you out of this relationship. And, you know, for your son's sake, he needs to see you with a soulmate who treats you with respect. He needs to see the way a man's supposed to treat a woman. How old is your son?
He's 6 months.
Okay, because children always relive the relationship they saw the first 5 years of life. So it's actually very good that he's not seeing you two fighting or anything on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
And, you know, it's very good that you've moved beyond the point, but you know, later on, you know, when you have this other soulmate in the picture, that's when, you know, this man can start deciding he wants to be a father. So be a little bit, you know, take care of the court papers now and take care of that, and know that you will be granted a soulmate. You know, your son needs to see you in a healthy and happy relationship. So, you know, money will be okay. Try not to worry about money too much.
Right.
Do you have a support system with your parents?
Yeah, I actually live with my parents, so
good.
They're very helpful.
Good. And if you weren't living still with your parents, he'd be more of a pain in the neck. So
right
now it's a good thing that you're still the property of your father.
Yeah.
Because otherwise this man would really think he owned you.
Right.
What does your dad tell you about him?
Well, my dad sees that he's, like, unstable, and my mom sees that he's unstable, and he does say a lot of, like, things that are unstable. One minute he'll threaten me, and then the next minute he'll say that he's sorry and he regrets doing it. So, like, it's a lot of, like, imbalance, so I try to, like, stay away as much as possible, and I usually see his dad maybe once every couple of weeks, and he'll, like, give, like, $100 here or there. But not really that often. That might be like $100 for a month, or maybe $100 every 2 months, if that. So far for 4 months, he's only given $550, and that really isn't that much. So like, and I know he could give more, he just doesn't want to. And then he'll say that he's not going to give hundreds of dollars a month because he needs to know what I'm spending it on, and I need to print out receipts, and I need to write down everything I'm spending the money on, or else he won't give it. So, like, stuff like that. So
right, but that's why if you have the courts rule a certain amount of that you won't have to deal with him so much on that way. But, you know, just it's good that you're still with your parents. You don't just don't underestimate him. He's crazy like a fox, by the way. He can clean up his act when he wants to, which makes him a dangerous person because when you go against in court against these people, they sometimes clean up so well, and by the time we've taken the court, we're half out of our minds, and we look like the lunatics in court. See, it's unfortunate because they accuse us all of stuff, and we're like, we lose it. And they go, see, I told you she was crazy. So be careful because he can clean up his act when he wants to.
Right.
That, well, you fell for the prince that became the beast. It wasn't like you knew all his colors when you fell for him. So he cleaned up enough for you to fall for him.
Right. But yeah, that's what he does. Kind of like a chameleon or something.
That's a good description of him.
Right. Even my mom sees it now. At first she didn't see it, but he turns on her too. So... what had happened was, after I had my son, my mom helped me with taking care of him because I had a C-section and I couldn't really move around and everything. And my son's father pretty much confronted her and got in her face and said all these things to her, all because she was helping out. And it's like he didn't want her to be there. He didn't want to help out. So she kind of saw how he was. But prior to that, he was never like that around her. So when my mom was living with us and helping me take care of my son after I had given birth to him, a couple of weeks she stayed with us, then he started acting really irrationally and strange, and then she started to see it. And I didn't see it until I actually started living with him, because I would go to school and I would hang out with him and it would be fine for like several months. But then when I actually started living with him and I had finished school, then it started to become a different thing.
Right. Well, people living with people, that's when they start reliving their parents' marriage. That's when they start reliving dysfunction. And sometimes people even are dating for 5 years, and they get married, and they're married like 2 months, and it falls apart. Because living together becomes all the crazy dysfunction that we saw in our families or that people saw in their families, and that's when it gets messed up. And, of course, he didn't want your mom to help you because he wanted you to become very dependent on him, so that, you know, you wouldn't have any place to go to, or if it didn't work out with him. He, you know, he knew kind of what he was doing, but that's why he's got some issues. They don't look like they're going to, he doesn't look very fixable, by the way. So at this point for you, try to move forward and just get the court documentation so that he can't later on come back and haunt you too much.
Right, like about the court documentation as far as him not paying and visiting.
Him not paying the child support. Because you'd be surprised how, you know, maybe for 5 years he'll disappear. He doesn't want anything to do with your son. And then when your son's five, suddenly he wants joint custody. And, you know, your son's not used to that. He's got his mom, and now he has to go with his father that he doesn't know. So be careful because he could come and go in your son's life.
Right. I kind of had a feeling that he was going to do something like that. Because he's like that he'll come back and try to do something like that.
Right, well, especially
told me that. Thank you very much.
Right, because this way he might find another woman. He's with her for about 3 years. It doesn't work out, and then he comes back to, you know, rain on your parade. Just for your son's sake, this way you could say, well, look, we'll talk about custody after, you know, you go to court for all your back child support. You could have him arrested. He'll might just walk away then if he owes, like, you know, $20,000 or $10,000 that he doesn't have, he might walk away. So it
and
always
also
gives
look out. Also look out for the biggest ruse of them all, which is, you know, if he does disappear for a little while and then he does come back and he does find out how much child support, you know, he owes, he might try to woo you again just not to be responsible to pay that money, you know, to try to get you to drop it or to try to get you to not hold him to that. You know, I mean, because technically speaking, you can hold it in your hands and you could say, well, you know what, I'm no longer going to seek this, and you can drop it if you wanted to, you know. And he'll try to talk sweet to you, and he'll tell you how much he missed you and how much you were the only woman he's truly in love with and this and that. He'll do all that. And you want to know what? He'll really believe it when he's saying it, and then the moment he's not saying it, it's not going to be true anymore.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
You know? And it's going to be more damaging to your child, and believe me, because I was raised by a single mom, okay? And my father was the same exact way, where he would come and go as he pleased, you know, where you know, he would, like, leave me sitting on steps waiting for him, telling me that he was going to show up, and then not show up at all as I'm sitting there with my coat on ready to go, you know, and because something better came up, you know? And the only thing that I can tell you is this: let him paint the picture of who he is to your child. You do not do that for him, because then when that child is old enough, you'll be the bad guy. Don't say, oh, well, daddy didn't do this and daddy didn't do that, and don't ever talk badly about him, but talk truthfully about him.
Right.
Let him show your child, if he is going to be around, let him show that child who he really is, okay?
Right.
And in addition to that, understand something again, that, you know what, you might see your child and you might see your child grow up and your child might have questions about daddy and this and that, and those questions are okay, all right? And at some point, you're probably going to get to a point where you're going to want your child to have a father so very badly just because you see that your kid wants one, you know? But there's a difference between being somebody's father and being somebody's dad. And the father and the dad don't have to be the same person.
Right.
Right, and just don't kick yourself in the head over the whole situation.
Absolutely,
but just protect
not.
Just protect yourself and your son. You know, love yourself the way you love your son. We come to that place of self-love that you don't want this man being abusive or hurting you, and you certainly don't want to show your son it's okay for men to speak abusively to women. You don't want him to learn that,
right.
And you know. Things look very, very good in your cards. Relax a little bit, but just protect yourself. And I'm sure your parents will help you.
Yes, they do. But
you have good parents.
Thank you so much, ladies. You were very helpful.
We like you very much. And congratulations on being a mother. You got a beautiful son out of this. And he only signed on for this knowing that you were not going to stay with his father. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
He didn't really want to be raised by this father. I mean, if I have to be raised in dysfunction again, I'm saying, get the father out of the picture this time and maybe I'll stay, you know. Just realize that he doesn't really want to be raised by that father.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Take care.
You too. Isn't she the sweetest little thing?
She's absolutely adorable.
Okay, so we have Patricia in the West Coast, huh?
Yes, Patricia wants to keep, you know, her exact location, you know.
That's okay, we don't mind.
That's fine. So she's over on the West Coast. She's not over here in the cold with us. She's further west where, you know, the weather is slightly warmer. And, you know, she's basically, right now she's in the middle of a divorce, Cindy, and it's been a long time coming. And she wants a great relationship in her future. She wants a better life. And, you know, she's really, really been through what she called a whirlwind of a life right now. And she believes she deserves, you know, she believes that she truly deserves something better. And basically, Cindy, what she's looking for a little bit of validation from you. But she also wants to know if you see that great future and that great life and that great lover, you know, and that, you know, more permanent person coming, you know, in her future.
Okay. And I'm glad that hi, Patricia. I'm glad that you told us about your life being kind of hard, because that's showing up here in the cards.
Yes.
That you've been with people who haven't played fair. That, you know, you're a very forgiving person. You've actually forgiven way too many times everybody. And this is you finally coming to that place of self-love where you said, I deserve better. That's an important thing. There is a soulmate in the future. They're a very happy family life. Do you have children? Because they're showing up in the cards.
No, I don't. I don't have children. I never have.
Okay, but this man who's coming may have children. They may even be grown, not that young, but it's a family here. It's showing a very happy family life. And, you know, knowing that that's coming. A little bit, though, for women, they do have to stand on their own two feet without a man for a while or without a partner. Just be able to stand on your own two feet emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually, so that you won't make any more excuses for abuse. You tend to be way too tolerant. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes, I'm very patient, and I give the benefit of the doubt for so many years. I mean, I think I stayed in this relationship for too many years, over and beyond. I mean, he hurt me so many times. And I'm just, you know, I just forgave and forgave and forgave and forgot. And now I'm not going to do that anymore. I know the signs, and, you know, I know I'm worth more.
And he is a pathological liar, by the way.
Yes.
And he believes his lies. That's the scary
part. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he truly believes his lies. And, you know, he's not totally out of this picture here. So, I mean, he's the kind of man that, you know, kind of still thinks he owns you. And it may take a little while even for you because you were very enmeshed with him. It's different from loving someone. Enmeshment becomes when we're in very dysfunctional relationships. There's like these energetic cords that go on between two people. It may take you even 6 months to a year to just fully cut every single cord, even if you're not seeing him. You know, sometimes you may dream about him
Yes.
or things may come up. Just deal with it and keep cutting those cords, because the longer we've been with a person, there may be, maybe there were 1,000 cords and you've cut 700 of them over the period that you have psychologically begun to divorce him long before the process of paperwork. But there will still be some cords you need to cut. And you need to come to some understanding as to why you would tolerate so much from him. And not being mad at yourself, but just knowing from now on there's no excuses for abuse.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. You know, you took a lot of crap in the name of love. Let's face it. You loved him once upon a time. You weren't just a fool. But if you had stayed much longer, and women who stay a long time with men who cheat and lie, they end up getting cancers, very often breast cancers and uterine cancers, because they won't walk away. So it's not even just bad for our psychological well-being. It's very bad for our physical well-being to stay in abusive relationships. So, you know, for you, there was no question you had to leave at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a really nice relationship in the future. I got this soulmate card, happy family life, very loving, honest, loyal, trustworthy man. Did you move away yet from this man? Physically?
I stayed put. He allowed me to keep the home, and we're doing the divorce papers now, so everything's settled financially, and you know what I keep and so on and so forth. So he's moving on. I did have a dream about him last night. It's just interesting that you just said that. But
and I'm
do...
not surprised. You made when I divorced my husband after 29 years of marriage, I dreamed about him almost every night for several months, and that showed that even though you know you move on, there's you know the ending of a relationship does end the relationship, but it kind of continues the lessons we need to learn. So until we learn the lessons, what we could have done different, should have done, what we tolerated, what we need to learn, it's very important so that we don't make the same mistakes again. Did you pay attention to what was said in that dream or what you were dreaming about?
Yes. Well, I was pretty much paralyzed in the sleep, and I couldn't wake up, and he came over me to hug me and to tell me how much he loved me. And I just couldn't move. I was trying to wake up, but I couldn't. And he had all the power to do, you know, to express himself. It wasn't sexual or anything like that.
No, but you're actually, you know, that's called astral projection. His soul actually came to you. I mean, everybody has a good soul. He just has a terrible ego.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to tell you that he loved you, but you also relived the marriage, that because he kept telling you he loved you and because you're a good person, you gave away your power to him. You allowed him to control you and keep you stuck for way too long. So you need to realize in the future that we have to be loyal to people who deserve our loyalty, and that even if we love someone, if they're abusive, we enable them by not walking away.
Right.
And that love could be fixed 2 feet in a relationship, but if a person's not committing to healing and committing to the relationship, will have 1 foot in, 1 foot out for a very long time, and nothing gets fixed. Taking 2 feet out, even in a relationship in the very beginning, if the person is doing things that we don't like or we don't want in our life, gives that person an opportunity to realize, if you want me, you're going to have to, you know, step up to the plate. So you might have some fears of falling in love again because you're afraid you're going to give away your power. So that's something that you're going to have to regain your own power and never, ever allow anybody in the name of love to hurt you or abuse you.
Right.
It's a hard lesson for all of us. But in the history of the world, people take a lot of crap in the name of love. They're not just stupid. They really did love a person. They really did. They are, you know, good Christians, good Jews. They believe in giving people another chance and turning the other cheek and being loyal. But, you know, there's a point where forgiveness means you recognize you've done something wrong and you don't do it again. I don't keep forgiving the same actions over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I did realize in this marriage, because his parents were very abusive towards me, I finally put a stop to that. So that was the first step. And then the second one was just ending this relationship. And so now he knows it's for real. And I, you know, and I am learning. It was a learning lesson. I believe I was brought into this relationship in this lifetime to learn that lesson.
And it's all, and once we learn it once, no excuses for abuse, be loyal to people who deserve your loyalty, and to love yourself the way you would love your own child, which would mean you would not tolerate abuse, anybody abusing your child.
Oh, exactly.
And so I always tell my clients, filter it through. If someone did something to your child, would you be mad? Would you tell them to put this person in jail? Would you tell them to walk away? Whatever you would tell your beloved child is what you have to do. And how long were you with him, since relationships do have a 5-year, usually work in 5-year cycles?
Well, we were together. We knew each other for like 27 years, but we were married for 20. But we lived together before, so we're together for like 23 years total.
Okay, good. So now at, you know, when you were married at the 20-year mark, God would ask you to either fix it or leave it, and you've done what you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, you might have a little bit of guilt because, you know, you're a good person and, you know, we people of our vow, we made a vow, we try to honor it. But you signed on for the prince, not the beast.
Right.
So walk away. Even if you might have tinges of guilt, it's okay. It's unearned. It'll process. I mean, I did have to walk away from my ex-husband with guilt. I mean, good people have guilt. They're always guilty about everything. Eventually it gets processed and this love will come, but just give yourself a little time to be by yourself.
Yes.
And get to be your lover to yourself.
Yes, and I do realize that. What started this process is about 4 years ago, I met a person. We never had nothing to do with each other, but I believe that they were a soulmate that came into my life to show me the truth. And I never got the chance to tell him thank you or anything like that. And I wanted to ask you if that person is ever going to call me or come into my life so that I can tell them what happened.
Right. And I could see the universe woke you up through love. They could have woken you up through breast cancer, that's for sure. And they woke you up because you're a nice person. God brought you a soulmate to wake you up, to bring you to that place of self-love, to open up your heart, to lift the depression, because when people are in a very toxic relationship, they get extremely depressed. And depression keeps us stuck a couple more years because we just can't get, you know, you can't even get out of bed, let alone leave a relationship. He came to open your heart. He may be a commitment phobic. He may have been drawn to you at the moment because you were married and it was safe and he knew it couldn't go anywhere or he thought it wasn't going to go anywhere. And now, you know, you could contact him.
Well, I have tried. I did go to the place where he was employed, and I left my number a couple times, but there was no response. And we never even really talked, so he really never even knew me. It was a strange situation.
No, but soulmates are really just the alchemy of two souls meeting.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how long they were together. If anybody wants to understand something about soulmates, they can watch The Bridges of Madison County, where Meryl Streep's in it with Clint
Eastwood.
And they only had a week together, but it lasted the whole life. It, just meeting a soulmate, even just the eye contact,
that
just
was
being
it.
In the presence is enough to do that. The fact that he hasn't, you know, responded back to you is something you have to respect, and he may have been just that transition soulmate that opened you up that wasn't meant to be forever. I mean, it really isn't a knight in shining armor that's going to rescue any of us. So normally if there is a person that's brought while we're in a relationship, they may help us get out of it, but they don't usually serve to be the one that's there forever. They fail us. But he was definitely a transition soulmate. You will be brought another one. You know, you were responsible to contact him, let him know, you know, that you were thinking of him. The fact that he's not taken your lead is not your fault, and you'll be granted another soulmate. But you did kind of need to see if that would go anywhere first before you would even open your heart to somebody else.
Yeah, and I kind of know that he's not the one. It's just that I so much appreciated the experience, and I failed to say anything, and I if I had ever impacted somebody, it would really brighten up my day if they told me how much I impacted their life. So I wanted to at least tell him what a bright spot he was, you know.
And you can send him once again those feelings on the soul plane with messages. And when we die, by the way, we get to see who we've impacted. Many times we don't know the kind word we said that may have stopped someone from doing something disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we never saw what we did or how we impacted, but when we die, we do get to see that, and they get to see what they did. And it's really interesting. You do eventually see all of this. So,
mm-hmm.
you know that he just was a man that showed you what a good man is like, treated you with perhaps with respect, and saw your soul and, you know, connected at that level.
Okay.
The more healed people are, the more soulmate connections we will have with friends, with coworkers, with family members that are always soulful interactions. I try to have that with everyone. And for you, you're going to have that now too. This man helped open your soul so that you will always want soulful connected relationships.
Yes.
And that's what makes the world a better place, when you have people that you connect on that level. So the man who's coming, by the way, is a very loving man who is very successful, a very generous man that will bring out the best in you, and you'll bring out the best in him. There's a marriage. Whether you marry on paper is not significant. What you had with your husband after a while was not a marriage. It was probably a bad business arrangement, but it was not a heart, soul, mind, body connected. That's what marriage is, heart, soul, mind, body connected, committed to love and healing. And that's what you're going to have with this man. So at least that man showed you what a soulmate felt like.
Yes, he did. And, I'll see him someday. If it's not on this plane, it'll be on the next one. But, like you said, right now I got to spend time with myself. I'm on my own, so I'm looking for another job. And I need to concentrate on that. And I guess this true soulmate, hopefully it'll be the last one, and I won't go through.
I know. Again, we have many soulmates. God wouldn't bring two at the same time. That would be chaos. And what we have to do is love our soulmates with the best that we can without fear. Because most people are really afraid of loving somebody that could die on them. And that makes people really not want such a great love. They're fearful. We have to just love, hope for, you know, that the person will be there for the duration. If not, if we've loved properly, we'll be granted another soulmate, if that's what we want. Sometimes people don't want another soulmate. Sometimes they do. It depends on what each person would want. So for you, I'm seeing very, very good love and lots of happiness. So just you've been through the worst, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So Spirit is happy about this breakup, and it's a good thing then.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And God never said you made your bed, lie in it, by the way. That was written by people who are really not very good people. They tell us no matter what you do, you're going to stay with me. Good people don't tell people to stay with them no matter what. Good people say, I don't know, I'm hooked on oxycodone, I'm crazy, run for the hills and save yourself. They don't say, go down with me. So, you know, you have to overcome some of your own guilt, perhaps, that, you know, you are a person of your word and you really meant it when you said, till death do us part. But I think that what that meant is to the death of the relationship, not to the death of the person.
Yeah.
And the relationship was over this after he became abusive.
Yeah.
You know, he put the nails in the coffin of it. You didn't.
Right. Oh, yeah, that is true. It was over a long time ago. It's just that I had fear of leaving. And something happened, and I got the evidence, and once the evidence was there, he couldn't lie anymore. So he was willing to give me my freedom. So I
and that's what you needed. That's why sometimes with older souls, they don't check up on people, they don't spy, but sometimes you need to see what's really there.
Yeah.
You need to confront these people. Otherwise, they're never going to let you. Abusive people never let people out of relationships. They don't want it. Unless they're, when they are narcissists, they don't want the truth revealed to everybody else. So they kind of let you out at that point. But it's all the narcissism and manipulation. And I like the way, just for our listeners, the way you said your fears kept you there. People have to acknowledge that it is our own fears that keep us stuck. And maybe our fears of going out in the dating world, will I be hurt, will someone break my heart, our fears, can we financially support ourselves, what will people say, what will people do? It's the belief that somehow this person is going to help us when we need it, when they're not going to. For everything that people tell me that they stayed in abusive relationships, I ultimately have to call them on what God will say at the end of our life. You made the choice. It was your own fears that kept you there.
Yes.
And once we come to that realization, we're able to walk away and stop playing victim. Like you weren't a victim of him. You were a victim of perhaps of your own fears, as all women and all people are. They somehow believe any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, is better than standing on her own 2 feet. That's a human fear. But acknowledging that it is ultimately our own fears that keep us stuck. And so when people come to me and say, oh, my mother stayed together for us kids, and I said, you know, that's a nice, you know, thing for her to say. It's very bad to say, but two, nobody does anything that doesn't somehow benefit themselves, even if it just keeps them in that place of fear. Mm-hmm. And most people like the devil, they know. You know that. In jobs, in relationships. It's fearful what's out there, what's the unknown. But I always try to get people to see, if you're unhappy in a marriage or a job now, how much worse could the future be if you're that miserable? You know, you've got to believe that something out there has to be better. It certainly couldn't be worse. When it gets that bad, it can't be worse.
Yeah, I had to weigh all the consequences out, you know, staying versus leaving, and there was so much more freedom and security with me being alone, because now I don't have to worry about checking up, the lying, the headaches, the staying up at night. Now I'm free, and I don't have to worry about all that anymore.
Right, and it's now that you can start over. But
right.
The real starting over comes when we stop playing victims. And people who ultimately heal, what I've learned in 18 years of doing this, is that people who stay in victim consciousness, so saying, my husband cheated, he did this, he did that, and they never heal. People who say, you know, I was married to a man and I didn't see the writing on the wall and I allowed his abuse for too long, end up healing. They accept the responsibility that they played in the tango of destruction. It wasn't, you know, people will get away with what they can, let's face it.
Right.
It's us not allowing them.
Yeah.
And that's finally coming to like a grown-up look at the world and stop like a children are victims of parents and abuse. Grown-ups really can't be. They have to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and go forward.
Yeah, when I learned about the Ho'oponopono, I don't know if you've ever heard about it.
Yes.
But when I learned about that, a light went off in my head saying, what did you do to draw this into your life, and how are you going to fix it? Because that is the truth. I had to take responsibility, and then I had to take responsibility to leave, to let it go. And, yes, that helped me a lot. because I had to see where I was enabling this to go on because of my fear. And so I just prayed that the Almighty would send something to help me let it go, because I wasn't able to do it by myself, so I needed evidence. Yeah.
No, of course not. And that's what's called smearing your face in shit. The universe finally says, I'm giving you this. See it. Look at it.
Yes. And
now that you see
this,
can you move forward? Yeah, we gave you what you wanted, okay? Now that you see it, you didn't need this to leave. You just abused
it. Oh, and he gave it to me right away, and I was like, oh, I'm not ready. But then I'm like, hey, I asked for it.
Well, that's like when the universe says you asked for, like, fast change, and you got it.
It came the next day.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. We can change our lives positively once we make up our mind, and you didn't let your fears kick in, and the universe helped you out.
Yeah.
So that's something very important, that it helped you.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you. We're out of our show time. I want to thank Nicole, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Patricia, and let us know how life gets better for you. We know
it will.
I sure
will. Thank you for your reading. I appreciate it. You have a
You're
good
welcome.
Night.
You
thank
too.
You.
Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you. It's people like you that have helped me.
Oh,
thank you
so much.
Yes.
Okay, Nicole, do you have any shout-outs for tonight? Wasn't she a doll? Didn't you just love her?
Oh, she was absolutely adorable. Another adorable. Everybody was adorable tonight to me. But whatchamacallit. She was absolutely wonderful. She had such a great energy. And actually, she taught me something as far as the Ponopono. So I'm going to have to look that up and I've just learned something from one of our listeners tonight. So that's great.
Now, wasn't that wonderful? And that's why I said, you know, if you notice, my readings are a little bit hard because I actually have to bring people to accept that they were responsible as well.
Absolutely.
But once you start seeing that with life, it really gets better. It really gets easier. You know what I mean? You just say, okay, I was responsible for this much and that much, and then life gets better. But you'll see, observing, you know, people that you know, the people who keep playing victim, it's never their fault. Those people's lives never get better.
Love, you're absolutely 100% correct.
And we'll leave people to meditate on that thought. There are no victims, only volunteers. And, good night, Nicole, and thank you so much for screening the calls.
Oh, absolutely, Cindy. And listen, I see that there are some listeners still on the line. Earlier, I had spoken with a very lovely woman named Maria in Virginia, and her call, I don't know if it was dropped or if she just got a little bit shy and no longer wanted to talk on the radio. But Maria, if you are still out there and you are still listening, please, why don't you try emailing Cindy. Go over to her website at grantmeahigherlove.com. And email Cindy, and we'll try to get you on next week, okay? I don't know if there was a technical difficulty on our part, but Maria in Virginia, you know, we spoke. Please contact us if you want to be on the air next week.
And you can also do it to Cindy Bella, CindiBella, CindiBella1@yahoo.com.
Yep, and also, Cindy, and this will be my final word, we also had Kathy and Melvin on the line. You remember Kathy and Melvin. They are
from Pennsylvania, Melvin from Georgia.
Pennsylvania.
Tell them to call
and
next
Georgia.
Week.
Yep, yes, guys, please call again next week. We just couldn't get to everybody tonight, but we always appreciate our loyal listeners and everybody tuning in to us every week, and especially those of you that go into the archives. So for all of you listening in the archives right now, you rock. Thank you.
And we have a lot of them in the archives.
Oh, my God, we do. But, Cindy, you did a wonderful job tonight. Thank you so much for all of your great work, and I will see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.